In the name of the one true living God, amen. Our decorations and creches have been put away, and streetlight poles are now all unadorned. Store shelves are now filled with the next holiday offerings. It is hard to believe that not too long ago, we celebrated the birth of Christ. It was a most unusual Christmas for many of us in this continued time of social distancing. Our New Year's Eve and Day celebrations as well. And it has only been a few days since the Christmas season officially came to an end, as Christians everywhere celebrated the feast of the Epiphany, remembering the Magi who encountered the Christ child by way of a star. Today we celebrate the first Sunday after the Epiphany and the baptism of our Lord. The church calendar reminding us not to stay stuck in Bethlehem. In fact, the gospel writer for year B of our lectionary, Mark, never takes us to that small backwater town. There is no infant, no shepherds, no angels, no travelers by night. There is no presentation in the temple, nor dreams or flights into Egypt. There is no presumably lost preteen found sharing scriptures with the elders in the temple. Instead, Mark takes us immediately into the wilderness and to the waters of the Jordan River. We thought we had seen the last of John the Baptist during Advent, but here we are again. And once again, we hear John's message that proclaimed that all submit to a baptism of repentance and that all must turn back to God. John also proclaimed the coming of one more powerful than he. It is at the Jordan that a fully grown adult Jesus makes his first appearance. His time had come to begin his public ministry and to proclaim God's kingdom. No longer was he to toil as a carpenter in Joseph's shop. No longer was it going to be business as usual for himself or for the world. We know this all too well since last March, when this nation and the world, the busyness of life seemed to come to a cautious and uneven halt due to the pandemic crisis. There has been a reordering of sorts of our steps and a rethinking of how things can be done, should be done, orderly and effectively to keep people safe. And as we can only hope for an equitable distribution of vaccine, an end to COVID-19. The blatant acts of insurrection on January 6th and the confirmation of ballots in the wee hours of the night also remind us that business as usual no longer holds water. We can only go forward with God's help into a more hopeful and brighter future. Mark tells us that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and he came without fanfare and without an army. He came to the waters of baptism just as others did. Yet understand, Jesus had no need for John's baptism of repentance. He was and is God, after all. But he did so because he identified himself with our humanity. He knew and experienced everything that makes a person human. Happiness, disappointment, failure, struggle, pain, joy, and life itself. He submitted himself to baptism, a baptism that ultimately set him apart from an everyday existence to the extraordinary ministry he had come into the world to fulfill. Mark tells us that after Jesus was baptized, and as he was coming up out of the water, the heavens opened, they tore apart, and the Spirit of God whirled and descended, just as the Spirit did upon the waters at creation. They descended, the Spirit descended like a dove on him. And a voice from heaven was heard to say, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." It is at this point that Jesus' mission and his ministry began. Not with a full army, a cavalry with swords and weapons, with words that hurt, but armed with strength, grace, and love, mercy, in order to continue God's work in the world. Each year on this feast of the baptism of our Lord, we are reminded not only of Jesus' baptism, but our own baptisms as well. And we celebrate the fact that we too were baptized with power and with the Holy Spirit. Our baptisms signaled new life, new birth, and our adoption into God's family as heirs, as sons and daughters. Our baptism was not meant as a one-time commitment, but a commitment for a lifetime. A lifetime of faith, holiness, and Christian living. Today, you and I are given a wonderful opportunity to renew our baptismal promises. Together, let us proclaim what we believe as sisters and brothers in Christ and as fellow sojourners on this Christian journey, as members in this way of love. Let us renew our beliefs that say to us and to the world that it is no longer business as usual. The same Spirit who hovered over Jesus and the same voice that spoke that day at the Jordan so long ago hovers now and speaks now the same words to us today. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. This does not mean that we are above anyone else. God cares and loves everybody. But like Jesus, we are set apart from an everyday existence to do the extraordinary ministries God has in store for each of us. And because we are God's beloved, we are to live out what that means. We are to serve our brothers and sisters, whoever they may be, to love our neighbor, the stranger, even our enemy, no matter what they look like, no matter what they sound like. And we are to remind them that they too are God's beloved. Sisters and brothers, we are to witness to the glory of God and to give witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. And together, we are to strive for justice, equality, reconciliation, and above all, peace. As we continue in this new year, may we commit ourselves to a fresh start, a new beginning. May we commit to allowing God to dream with us and among us, to creating and giving birth to things that are new in ourselves, our homes, our church, and the world. And so we pray, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh. Fall afresh on us all. Let us now renew our baptismal promises.